You're listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. We hope you enjoy our sermon of the week. For more information, please visit rockingham.org.au.
So we're on week 5 of our discipleship culture, on our little journey. I hope you've been following along at home. I think if you haven't been, I strongly suggest that you go back and listen to the sermons that have been preached. Listen to the messages. Grab the brochure. Have a look through it. See what it says. Grab the bookmark. If I knew this was coming out today, I just would have given you this and said, there you go. That wraps it up really well. But no, I need to talk to you. So in discipleship culture, we've been learning to pray and watch for people of peace. People who like you and listen to you and will serve you. Build relationship, come and see. I was just invited up with that word, come and see. Jesus spent the day with the disciples. Read the Bible, do it afraid. So I told you, it's okay to be afraid. Have you ever revved a car? You need to rev it to change gears. We're a bit like that sometimes. We need a bit of tension there to get us going. So doing things afraid is okay. We have steps towards salvation and we have these moments that God gives us with people. These kairos moments. We've learnt to listen. What are you saying, God? Holy Spirit, what are you saying? What should I do? God's appointed time. God's controlling it all. We don't have to. There's a specific time in the purpose of God. We're going to hear about that today. We have seasons. There's definitely seasons of discipleship. We meet people for seasons. We have people speak into our lives for moments, for seasons. Some are short, some are long. God moments. And then most importantly, we need to pray. We need to be people of prayer, praying for people of peace, asking God, who are you putting on my heart? Who should I be talking to? Who do I need to speak to? I'm going to start with Jesus this morning. If we can start anywhere, I think, what did Jesus do? What can we take out of his story? And in particular, I'm going to go to John 15. This morning, I'm going to try my hardest to use the Bible discovery method because I want you to learn what it's like to read the Bible. So when I come to the Bible this morning, I'm just going to read it and then go from there. So John 15, verse 13, greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Amen. I call you friends. If you don't know here, Jesus is speaking to his disciples. If you're going to read the Bible, the first question you might ask after you've read the scripture is, what's going on? Jesus is talking to his disciples. That's what's going on in this scripture. Of course, Jesus is talking about his death. He knows he's going to the cross. He has this big mission that he's on. He's saving the world. But at the same time, he's on this micro mission as well, where he's got his friends. He's got his disciples. And I wonder if you see that scripture there where it says, I no longer call you servants. What have we been saying about people of peace? What do they want to do for us? They want to serve us. There has to be that in the relationship with people of peace, we have to have a servant exchange. a willingness for people to want to help us. They want to listen to us, they want to like us, but they want to serve us. They're the three things we're looking for. Jesus first called his disciples servants. But then if you go right to the end of their relationship, he calls them friends. They've journeyed with Jesus into this place of friendship. And he says, you know my business. You know that everything that I've learned, everything that Jesus has been taught by his Father, he's made known to them. So there's been an exchange of information, exchange of knowledge. Okay, we do that with our people of peace. We read the Bible with them and it comes alive and we exchange things and they become our friends. It's certainly been my experience with discipleship that the people that have discipled me have become my friends. So if Jesus is doing that, then I think it's great for us to have that in mind, that as we step out into this scary place of discipleship, that eventually these people can become our friends and strong, strong friendships that go on for years and years. So I love to go into the Bible and have a look and kind of see things and see different stories and think, well, if we're doing this in church, what does Scripture say about it? Paul was always imitating Jesus. Of course, in grace, he imitates Jesus in grace. But he also imitated him in life. He gave examples. If Jesus was doing it, then Paul was going to do it too. And I've been in Acts 16. If Hollywood would make a movie of the Bible, this would be a great chapter. There's so much going on in here. It's exciting. There's things happening that are miraculous and there's all these different relationships and things going on. But as I said, I'm going to try and demonstrate this Bible discovery method. So I am going to read the Bible this morning. To give you a bit of background with Paul, he's tried to push into Asia to spread the gospel, but it says that the Holy Spirit, or the Spirit of Jesus, has stopped him from going into that area. And he has this vision to go to, well, Philippi, to go into Macedonia and move into that space or that area of the world, which is important to remember. So once Paul and his friends arrive in Philippi, it's the Sabbath. And I'm going to start in Acts 16, chapter 13, verse 13. So just sit back and relax. It's a good story. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshipper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. If you consider me a believer in the Lord, she said, come and stay at my house. And she persuaded us. Goes on. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. She followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God. Who are telling you the way to be saved? She kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul came, so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. And at that moment, the Spirit left her. When her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. They brought them before the magistrates and said, these men are Jews and they are throwing our city into an uproar by advocating customs unlawful for us Romans to accept or practice. The crowd joined in the attack against Paul and Silas, and the magistrates ordered them to be stripped and beaten with rods. After they had been severely flogged, they were thrown into prison, and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully. When he received these orders, he put them in the inner cell and fastened their feet in stocks. Now about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken. At once, all the prison doors flew open and everyone's chains came loose. The jailer woke up, and when he saw the prison doors open, he drew his sword and was about to kill himself because he thought the prisoners had escaped. But Paul shouted, "Don't harm yourself. We are all here." The jailer called for lights and rushed in and fell trembling before Paul and Silas. He then brought them out and asked, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They replied, "Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the house. And at that hour of the night, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Then immediately he and all his household were baptized. The jailer brought them into the house and set a meal before them. He was filled with joy because he had come to believe in God, he and his whole household. When it was daylight, the magistrates sent their officers to the jailer with the order, "Release those men," the jailer told Paul. "The magistrates have ordered that you and Silas be released." Goes on a bit further, and it says, after Paul and Silas came out of the prison, they went to Lydia's house, where they met with the brothers and sisters and encouraged them, and then they left. Oh, did you take all that in? It's such an amazing scripture, because what we have is Paul on his journey, listening to the Holy Spirit, going into a place where he's been told to go, where he shares the good news with people. They believe it. They come to know Jesus. They fellowship together. And that's it. Summary, hey? Easy. But is there more to it? So in Acts 16, 13 to 15, we've got Paul heading out to pray, and he finds some unexpected people. He finds a woman named Lydia. Lydia is interesting because she's from Asia, the place where Paul was trying to get into. And then the first person that God puts in Paul's path is Lydia from Asia. There's no coincidence. These two are meant to meet. God's already working in Lydia's heart. It says the Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. So Lydia wanted to listen, and God had been working in her. Lydia then serves Paul. She invites him to their house, to her house. She gives him a meal and looks after him and gives him the things that he needs. Does it sound like a person of peace to you guys? I think out of all the examples I've come across, Lydia is a real person of peace. She's got it all. She wants to listen. God's been working in her heart. And then she wants to serve. Now, the next time they go out to the place of prayer, they have a different experience. They have a different situation. So they come across a young girl who's possessed by a demon, and she hassles and hassles and hassles and hassles and hassles until Paul has had enough and he drives this demon out in the name of Jesus. And then that's all we hear about that story. There's no more, there's no meal after that. There's no let's get together and hang out. Well, not in the scripture, but I wonder if this girl was a person of peace for Paul. There's no doubt that she had an encounter with God. But was she a person of peace? It's really interesting to reflect on the difference between her and Lydia. Maybe when we're meeting people and talking to people, it's good to have that knowledge because we're trying to sum up, who is this person of peace? Do they fit the three categories? Are they wanting to listen to us? Do they like us? And do they want to serve us? The next example, because of this girl and what Paul has done, they end up in prison. They're singing hymns, they're praying to God, a big earthquake comes, but Paul doesn't run, he stays. This poor jailer, his job is so important to him that he thinks he's failed and he wants to kill himself. That's his option, he thinks, until Paul speaks to him and says, "Don't harm yourself, we're all here." And through that surprise, the jailer wants to stay and listen. He wants to hear what Paul's got to say. He says, "What do I have to do to be saved?" Paul says this, he says, "Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household." Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all the others in the household. They wanted to listen. Paul was speaking, they wanted to listen, they wanted the message. And then at the hour of the night, which was late, the jailer took them and washed their wounds. Can you see that the jailer wanted to serve them? And because of that, he gave them a meal. They were filled with joy. The jailer was, because he'd come to believe in God, he and his whole household. After Paul and Silas came out of prison, they went to Lydia's house. They all got together, and then it says they left. Discipleship, though, goes on and on and on. If we go on to the next scripture, we're looking at the book of Philippians all of a sudden. But it wasn't all of a sudden. It was 10 years after this happened in the book of Acts. Didn't matter which scripture I grabbed out of Philippians at all. And this is the one that Chris read out last week. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God." 10 years after Paul has left Philippi, he's writing a letter to the church in Philippi, the letter of Philippians. Paul still cares for these people. He still loves them. He still wants them to follow Jesus. I'd encourage you to read the letter of Philippians after reading chapter 16 in the book of Acts, and just sit in that knowledge that Paul was there and his letter to the Philippians is intensely relational. He's writing to his friends. It doesn't say in Philippians that he's writing to the jailer or to Lydia or to the girl that was possessed. But I'd like to think that he was. That he had that really intimate connection. He was discipling them 10 years after. He still cared. He was on that journey with them. I'm just going to finish up with a bit of my story as well, because thankfully I've been discipled. In fact, it's God that's got me here and he's worked in my life, but if it wasn't for discipleship, I don't think I would be here right now doing this. This scripture sits on my heart when I think about discipleship and the job that I do. It's from Revelation, last chapter of the Bible. "The Spirit and the Bride say, 'Come.' Let the one who hears say, 'Come.' And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the free gift of the water of life." So the Spirit and the Bride, the Holy Spirit and the church, work together. And they invite, they say, "Come." And then the ones that hear then say, "Come." So there's this continuation of invite happening. Continually looking for people of peace, people to invite to the Lord, to know Jesus, because what's waiting for them is the free gift of the water of life. And I can tell you they're thirsty. So go out, be encouraged, invite. Invite doesn't have to be a massive, oh, I've got to read the Bible with them, I've got to do theology study, it's not. Ask them for a coffee. Start small. Take a little step and invite people in. Look for people of peace. When I first got saved, I really thought that if I just kept that news to myself, that would be okay. I didn't have to tell anyone about Jesus. I met a guy who took me in under his wing. It started with invite, and we got together, and he helped me work through that. We prayed together publicly in a coffee shop, openly. We read the Bible together. We opened the Bible in a coffee shop and we prayed out loud. And at the time, for me, it was scary. It was uncomfortable and it was difficult. But he helped me through it. I wouldn't have done that myself. I did it in discipleship. Mike now is on mission in South America, so I don't see him. He was there for that reason. The other thing he taught me was to read the Bible in context, not to grab scriptures from here and there and make them fit, but to read them in context. The next stage of my life, or discipleship life, was with a really good friend of mine called John. And again, it started with a coffee. We had a coffee, we went to Dome in Rockingham, and John just spent a good few days or a few different coffee dates talking about life, what life was like for me. He built relationship with me, and he's had a great impact on my life. He was the first one who gave me an opportunity to teach, and I did it afraid in my house with Jules and with his wife Susan, and I was so nervous that day, but he gave me an opportunity just to teach the Word of God. If I think back to what I was talking about then, I probably had no idea of what I was talking about, but that wasn't the point. The point was that he gave me an opportunity. John would always say to me, "But God's preparing you for things. Like he's got a plan for your life. He wants to help you out. He wants to bring you along. He wants you to go and do his work." And John would encourage me in that space. So I've always had that discipleship in my life, and it's been so good. And now I've got another mighty man of God who meets me every Wednesday, or every second Wednesday, and he helps me stay on track. He helps me remain accountable. He reminds me of Jesus. He teaches me about leadership. He teaches me about so many good things that, without him, it would be hard to keep going like that. It's a different relationship, but it's really important. We talk about the angle scale. Like Mike brought me from a zero to maybe a one or a two. John, I think, took me from about a 3 to a 10. And then now I'm being kept at a 10 because I'm accountable in that relationship, in that discipleship. So I really want to encourage you all this morning on your own journeys. I want to encourage you to not only look for people of peace and disciple people and encourage people. I want you to feel that you can take small steps. I want you to feel that you can ask for help if you need it. But also want to remind you that it's important to be discipled. It really is. It's important to have people around you who want to speak Jesus, who want to teach you, who want to help you along your journey. We all do it in different ways, but discipling is really important for the Christian journey. So we're just at the start, church. We've done 5 weeks, but you're just at the start of this. I just pray that you'll watch for people of peace, people who like you, who listen to you and will serve. Build that relationship first. Come and see. Spend a day with someone. Spend some time with someone. Build up that relationship. And don't be afraid to do it afraid. Take small steps. Don't go straight into 2 Kings and, or, I don't know. Ask someone for a coffee. Ask someone for a bit of time. Give you time. Don't overcomplicate it. Don't overthink it. Pray. God's with you on this. He wants us to go out. He wants us to disciple, but it's a step at a time. We'll be praying for you as a staff team that our church grows disciples. And just thank you for being able to share with you this morning. Don't forget your bookmarks, because they're very good summaries of what we've been teaching.
Thank you for listening to the Rockingham Baptist Church podcast. If you would like to learn more about our church family, get involved, or have someone pray for you, you can email us at office@rockingham.org.au or send us a message on Facebook.